of God this morning. Let's read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 4 to 5. We're going to read it from the New International Version of the Bible. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 to 5. It says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Hallelujah. Let's read a counterpart scripture from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. I'm going to read from the classic edition of the Amplified Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it that we might die, that is, cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Now, this is what I'm going to do this morning. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you see, for something to settle inside you, for something to be a reality for you, you need to hear it repeatedly. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to remind us of some things I said last week, and then I'm going to deepen those principles, and then I'm going to add to the things that we said last week. Is that okay? Three powerful principles that we shared last week, and I'm going to go over them again. But this time around, especially the second one, I'm going to go a little bit deeper than we did last week so that your understanding can be deepened. Okay? The first thing I said is that God cares about you. You've got to put that at the back of your mind. God cares about you. God wants the best for you. Okay, you see, before now, when we look at our relationship with God, when we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus, I don't know where we got the notion from, but we carry this image that we serve a God who is bothered or who is concerned more about sin than any other thing. You know, we present him like God who is concerned about sin. So the moment a person is born again, you see, we are focused on don't sin. Okay, forgiveness of sin. Okay, if you sin, you will miss heaven. So don't sin so that you don't miss heaven. But please, you need to understand, sin is not the only reason Jesus came to deal with. Hallelujah. Sin is not so. God did not send Jesus to the earth just because of sin. So let me say this to you, for you to understand. To God, sin is not a big deal. This is what I mean. The reason why God can forgive sin is because it's not an issue for him. Pastor, what are you trying to say? Look at you and the things you can't forgive. Hello? Look at the things you can't forgive. I've heard women say things like, I can't take anything from any man, but if he cheats on me, he's a dead man. And we cheat on God repeatedly over and over. You know what it takes for God to just look at you? If God snaps, if sin was such an issue for him, there will be no humanity. Are we getting this? So you see, when Adam sinned in the garden, it was not just about sin. A lot of things were messed up. And when Jesus came, he came to restore everything. So you've got to understand this. God cares about everything that concerns you. As I go further this morning, you'll understand what I'm saying. God cares about everything that concerns you. The second thing I told you last week is that you have no business with sickness. This is the point where I'm going to say stuff I didn't say last week. You have no business with sickness. Why? Because your health is guaranteed by covenant. God is committed to your welfare by covenant. And I told you last week that the same sacrifice that paid for your sin paid for your sickness. Let me just say this. The same sacrifice that paid for your sin paid for your sickness and paid for your prosperity. You've got to get that. The same sacrifice that paid for your sin paid for your sickness and paid for your prosperity. So I told you that where sin is forgiven, healing is guaranteed. Where sin is forgiven, healing is guaranteed. All right. Now we looked at Isaiah 53, all right, verse 4 to 5. And I want to show you something from there. The Bible says that the punishment that brought us peace, I want you to look at the word. The punishment that brought us peace was laid on him. By his wounds, we are healed. That punishment brought us peace. The word peace there is the Hebrew word shalom. It means safety, welfare, health, prosperity, peace. The punishment that brought us safety, prosperity, welfare, health, okay, peace was laid on him. So when he paid the price, it was not just about sin. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, right? That's what salvation is, the Greek word soteria. Listen to this. It means deliverance, preservation, soundness, prosperity, happiness, rescue, general well-being. Shalom, soteria. Practically means the same thing. It did not take the punishment just for sin. It took it for safety, for protection, for general welfare. Are you getting this? So the moment you look at Jesus, it's not just my sins forgiven. It is everything provided. We looked at Psalm 103 last week. We took only two verses, but I want us to push it further this morning, and I'm going to show you some things. Psalm 103 and verse 1 to 5 now. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, now watch this, and forget not all his benefits. Some of us are comfortable with some of his benefits. So you know the God who has forgiven your sin, but you don't know the God who heals you. Hallelujah. But look at what the Bible says. Now I'm going to be pausing, okay, and be punctuating the next few words with what God has given you as a benefit. So from verse 3, he says, who forgives all your sins? Forgiveness of sins. And heals all your diseases. That's healing. Who redeems your life from the pit? That is deliverance or emotional recovery. So you may not have physical sickness, and what you're struggling with is depression. You need to understand Jesus paid for that. The Bible says he took our pains and our sorrows. Amen. He took our pain and our sorrows. Hallelujah. The punishment that brought us shalom. Another expression for shalom is nothing missing, nothing broken. Okay, nothing missing, nothing broken. Hallelujah. So it says what? He redeems your life. And this is not something he did. This is something he does. He redeems your life from the pit. That's deliverance and emotional recovery. It says, and crowns you with love and compassion. That's general well-being and protection. Who satisfies your desires with good things? That's prosperity. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's health, or what I call cycles of rejuvenation. You need to get this. Cycles. So as far as your life is concerned, once you catch this revelation, from now on, when you mark your birthday, you need to understand your life now is 12 months. Cycles of rejuvenation. Every month for you, cycle of rejuvenation. Because the Bible says what? It renews your youth like the eagles. How does it do it? With all these things. He forgives your sins. Listen to this. If he forgives your sin and he does not heal your diseases, your youth will not be renewed. Are you getting this? If he forgives your sin and heals you of your diseases, but does not satisfy your desires with good things, your youth will not be renewed like the eagles. So this cycle of rejuvenation I'm talking about is a total package. You need to understand, shalom is a total package. Soteria is a total package. It's not just forgiveness of sin alone. It's forgiveness of sin. It's healing. It's health. Amen. If you don't understand healing, you cannot grapple health. You see, healing is, I got sick, it recovers me. Health is, I don't get sick. So the reason why some people don't talk about divine healing is because they've not been sick in a long time. And they forget that they are in divine health. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. If you've not been sick for quite a while, just give him praise. Come on. Just give him praise. Come on. Just give him praise. Father, we thank you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I glorify you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Listen, if you are not mindful of all his benefits, your praise and worship will be sabotaged. Because you are not conscious of all he has done and all he is doing. He recovers me. You know, some of us, when we talk about depression, you don't know what it means. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You don't know how to be depressed. Even when you are having a bad day, you cooperate. How many of you have been like that? I find myself in that situation a lot of times where I tell myself to behave like my circumstance so that people will not think I'm unserious. You're getting what I'm saying? They expect you to be morose. They expect you to look down. They expect you to be depressed. But you find that even when you want to be depressed, you can't help it. Amen. There's something about fellowship with God. Listen, if you've been walking with God, you know what I'm talking about. There's something about walking with God, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to the point where when you want to be sad, you can't be sad. You know too much to be sad. You've experienced too much to be depressed. You can't quit. You can't give up because you have tasted and now you know that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. And then I told you something last week, very important. The third principle I told you last week, I said covenant benefits are activated by the demand of faith. Covenant benefits are activated by the demand of faith. We looked at the woman with the issue of blood. We looked at the Roman centurion. We looked at blind Bartimaeus. We looked at Jesus. Okay, even in the story of the woman that was bent over for 38 years. And we saw that all of them made a demand by faith. And we can go beyond them. We saw blind Bartimaeus, Jairus, okay, the Roman centurion, all of these people, the 10 lepers, they made a demand. Even the man whose son was afflicted with the devil and who said, help my unbelief, all of them were not rejected. Everybody who made a demand of faith was not rejected. Hallelujah. They were not rejected. So some of us expect, God, why have you not done it? A lot of times it's because you have not demanded for it. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The younger boy said, give me. What did the father do? The father gave. You need to understand Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Now, when it comes to healing, you don't even have to ask. It has already been given. You just need to go to the kitchen and take what's yours. Because healing is children's bread. Tell your neighbor for me. Type it in the comment section. Tell that person, go to the kitchen and take what is yours. Are you getting this? Go to the kitchen and take what is yours. See, some of us men, I'm now, don't practice this if your wife is tough. But some of us men have authority and understanding of who we are in the house. So there are things we take without permission. If I have a very good church member of mine, and the wife reported him, said he's always stealing meat from my pot. And the man said, how can I steal from myself? It's a function of revelation. So how can I steal from he that owns the pot, owns the cooker of the pot, and what is in the pot can do whatever. He says, everything belongs to me. Are we getting this? So recently, I was going to watch TV in my kids' room. I was going to watch a match in my kids' room because prayer was going on. I was in the morning watch. Amen. Don't look at me like kind of that. Some of you don't even show up at all. Amen. I mean, the morning watch, Pastor D takes the evening watch from time. It was one of those times when we had not been switching. Okay. So I was going to watch a beautiful, I'm sorry, we were going to have an active service. Okay. On television. I was going to watch a match. And my son said, Daddy, you cannot watch TV in our room. I said, well, I said, it's our room. Without my permission, you cannot watch TV in this room. The sister was quiet. See, because the more you mature, the more you know. He kept speaking. At a point, the sister told him, keep quiet. See, plus the room and the TV and the subscription, including us, we belong to him. So I told him, I said, I will send you out. You will sleep out. I said, you can't do that to me. You love me. I'm your son. They said, oh, now you remember. I said, okay, so Daddy, now you have my permission. You see, this is what I'm just trying to say. When you know who you are, are you getting this? When you know who you are, listen, you've got to get it. Healing belongs to you. You see, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will place their hand on the sick. He did not say they will pray for the sick. They will lay their hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. So I've been praying to God for my healing. He has not healed me. No, he healed you. So if you're praying about it today, there's nothing for him to do. Hallelujah. There is nothing for him to do because the punishment your peace has already been delivered. Amen. But how do I get it? By the demand of faith. By the demand of faith. And I shared something in the course of the week during the prayer meeting. And I want us to look at it deeply this morning. I never saw it like this until very recently. That we are free from sin, but we still get tempted to sin. We're free from sin. Are we getting this? You know, if there's any revelation we understand now, is Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price for sin. We're free from sin. We're free from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over us. So we understand we are free from sin, but we still get tempted to sin. And some people that name the name of the Lord, they fall for the temptation of sin. Watch this. In the same way, we are free from sickness, but we get tempted with sickness. How do you get tempted with sin? Thoughts and feelings. How do you get tempted with sickness? Thoughts and feelings, but these ones, you call them symptoms. But they are feelings. As a matter of fact, sometimes when you go to the hospital and you describe your feelings, they have to run a test to tell you what your feelings mean. So they ask you, how are you feeling? Headache, fever, nausea, depending on your age and your marital status.
It can mean a lot of things. The same symptoms for malaria fever is the same symptoms for pregnancy.
It's how you feel. I'm not sure you're getting this. But that you are feeling does not mean you have it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You need to understand. When I just got saved, I grew up, okay, having malaria once every month. It was just my thing then. I would just have malaria every month. You see, I have this mom that she's just good at being a mom, that she trained. In fact, there's nobody who grew up in my mother's house that cannot be a nurse. As you can do first aid, you know what to prescribe, okay? So we knew how to take care of ourselves. I'm not the kind of person, while I was in university, that would go home because I'm sick. No, I know what to do. And I thought I was on top of my game until I went for a meeting one day and somebody who was supposed to be below me in the faith was speaking and he said, I've not been sick for the past 8 years. Ah. I said, guy, what are you talking about? I used to treat malaria every month. This guy has not been sick for 8 years. I don't get it. That was when it dawned on me. I started to learn that I'm feeling it does not mean I am. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when I used to sin, I used to tell myself, when I'm thirsty, I drink. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm feeling, whatever is to you. That was what we used to be. Then it dawned on me that I'm feeling like this does not mean I should. This is what I'm trying to say. If a military man slaps you, what do you feel like doing? You feel like retaliating. Do you take the thought? No, that's what we're saying. You attempted to misbehave, but you behave yourself. My message to us this morning is this. The same way we resist sin, we must resist sickness and claim our healing. Okay? We must deal with sickness the same way we deal with sin. That you are feeling the symptoms does not mean you should embrace the thought. Oh, this is the way I feel, but I'm not going to behave the way I feel. I'm going to claim my benefit in Christ. So that was what I started doing. I went from 1 month to like 3 months. To like 4 months. And sometimes God would allow things in your life so that you can learn. 4 months, then I'll have malaria again, and then I'll take drugs. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking drugs. Absolutely nothing wrong with taking drugs, but you need to understand it is another way the devil can cheat you. The moment he knows that you trust in drugs, then it becomes an opportunity to siphon your resources. Because some of us now, because you can afford it, you think it's okay. The money you should use to be moving your life forward, you'll be using it to treat sickness. Because in your heart, somewhere in your heart, you have embraced the fact that when I fall sick, okay, I use drugs. Forgetting that drugs have side effects. Healing anointing does not. Oh, sorry, it has. Joy, peace, prosperity. Are you getting this? So you have 1.5 million and they tell you this is what you are dealing with and then you drop your 1.5 million. Another person does not have 1.5 million and they don't have what you have. This is the problem. This is what the moment the devil tempts you to settle with medicine, you will get to the point where there will be a sickness that medicine cannot cure. You will lack the faith to approach God because you have always learned to buy drugs, buy tablets, go to the hospital, buy drugs, buy tablets. Listen to this. This is what I'm trying to say. When you have a non-life-threatening sickness, exercise your faith. And some of you, common headache, you use tablets. See, some people, I wish we had time. Rest is more important to you than some of the drugs you're taking. Just rest. Some of us, obedience to the principles of health in scripture is all you need. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I tell people this all the time. You cannot sleep at 4 a.m. and wake up at 6 a.m. and your body will be okay. That's the truth. They say if you sleep 7 or 8 hours every day, you would have slept 1/3 or whatever of your life when you die. Tell them I was designed to sleep for that period. Don't hustle me. Some people just by the law of rest. God is omnipotent. On the seventh day, he rested. Not because he was tired, but to show us. Now, you see, this machine I gave you to work with, this is the way to run it. So some people, they break down the way their cars break down. Terrible maintenance culture. They will now try to use medicine to repair what ignorance and disobedience brought on them. Now, it's the same thing if you would obey scripture and treat sickness the way you treat sin. You will start saying, I can't remember the last time I went to the hospital because I was sick. I've been married now for like 13 years plus. And in that period, the only time I've gone to the hospital is because my wife went to deliver. It's a mindset. Now, just before you feel I'm bragging, I told you my story. I used to treat malaria every month. Do you understand?
And it's not that my mosquitoes don't bite me anymore. It's not like I don't feel symptoms anymore. But I've come to learn that over time, if I treat sickness the way I treat sin, you will notice that you got tempted to the point where there are certain things that don't tempt you anymore. Have you noticed? I wish I knew this long before now. That I should treat sickness the way I treat sin. See, when I just got saved, there were things that used to tempt me and I used to fall for. And then I would quote scripture, I would declare what the Bible says concerning me. And then I noticed after some time, the word started becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And then we began to behold his glory. So there are certain things that don't tempt me anymore. Not because I've changed, but because of revelation. That's the truth. You see, every criminal is an ignorant person. There's just something the person needs to know that he does not know. Every criminal is an ignorant person. The same thing, every sinner is an ignorant person. And it's the same thing, you can be afflicted by sickness and you're suffering from sickness and it is because there are things you don't know or things you don't believe or things you are not practicing. Hallelujah. So when it dawned on me that the same price that paid for sin, paid for sickness, paid for poverty. You see, when I was going to overcome sin as a young believer, the portion of scripture that God used for me was Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to challenge you, take Romans chapter 6, okay, and begin to make it your confession. Wherever you find sin, remove it and put sickness there. I wish I had time, I would have started from verse 1 to 14, but because of time, we're just going to do it from verse 9 to 14. And you will see what I'm talking about this morning. From verse 9 to 14, Romans chapter 6, it says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sickness. Once and for all." Are you getting it now? The same sacrifice that paid for sin, paid for sickness. So wherever we see sin here, we can remove it and put sickness. You can remove sickness and put poverty. You can remove poverty and put depression. Whatever it is you are dealing with, Christ paid for it. So look at verse 10 again. The death he died to sickness once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sickness, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sickness reign in your body. Hallelujah. Just before you join us and you think, oh, he's reading the wrong scripture. I told you, wherever you find sin, substitute it for what? Sickness, because the same sacrifice paid for everything. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, do not let. So listen, it dawned on me then that, look, if I am sinning, it's because I allow sin in my life. So when he says, well, don't let sin reign over you, it's the same thing. Don't let sickness reign over you. All right? So that you obey its evil desires. Verse 13 says, do not offer any part of your body or any part of yourself to sickness as instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of your body to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sickness shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Can you see that? See, that was how I got free from sin. Romans chapter 6. And it dawned on me, that is how to get free from sickness. You will be tempted with sickness. Symptoms will come. They will tell you to check your family history. Look at this. That the people in your family used to be failures. You are now born again. Are you going to be a failure? No. That in your bloodline pattern, they used to be abusive men. Now that you are born again, will you be abusive? No, so why should they tell you that because your mother had cancer, you will have cancer? The same blood that took away abuse, that took away the anger issues, that took away depression, is the same blood that will alter your bloodline patterns. From you down, your DNA will not see that sickness anymore. Don't let them tell you your mother had asthma, you are going to have asthma. She had arthritis, you are going to have arthritis. No, reject it in the name of Jesus. If you want it, it's okay. But if you don't want it, you reject it. Because there are people who are born again who are still living in sin. Because they refuse to practice Romans chapter 6. Are we getting this? Let me round up with this morning. Okay, on Friday, Pastor Jumoke will be answering questions. Then next week, Friday, Reverend Victor will be answering questions and praying and discussing with us further about healing. All right? And then the last of Sunday of the month, okay, we're going to have a session. I title it Faith and Mental Health. I'm going to have a crucial conversation with Dr. Banji on these same issues. Because, you know, the last time we talked about depression, he said majority of those who come to the clinic have already been to church. And it is because there are so many people who name the name of the Lord, but who don't practice these principles. Are we getting this? So, Pastor, how do I practice these principles? Three things that I've done this morning. This is the first one. Don't let the thought settle. So the same way we deal with sin is the same way we deal with sickness. Don't take the thought. Don't allow it to settle. Don't adjust your life for it. The same way we tell you, you don't say, okay, God is good and all of that, but this is just my own sin. Okay? I just can't help it. Okay? Fornication is my problem. When I get married, it will be over. No, when you get married, you will cheat. Because you have always... See, what you lack is self-control. Sex is not your problem. Lack of self-control is your problem. And it starts by what? By your thoughts. So when the suggestion comes, don't take it. You probably watched your parents suffer in their health. And now you are growing older. They already told you anything from 40, anything from 45. This is what you begin to feel. Your father died of this, so you are 40 now. You feel one pain. Say, maybe this thing is beginning to catch me. Don't take the thought. Don't accept it. Are we getting this? Don't accept it. What do we tell you to do when it comes to sexual sin? We say flee all appearance of evil. It's the same thing. Flee all appearance of sickness. Don't let the thought settle. Don't act according to your symptoms. Stop consulting your symptoms. Consult the word of God. The next thing I'm going to tell you is to do, maintain your confession of the word. Maintain your confession of the word. There is a problem there. How do you confess what you don't know? So this is one of the things you need to do in this season. You need to oversaturate your mind with teachings on healing and health. That was what I did to overcome sin. I kept listening to teachings on the new creation realities. The problem is, when we listen to teaching on new creation reality, the emphasis was so much on sin, we forgot about sickness and prosperity. You know, we even have people who are born again, but who believe that God is not interested in their prosperity. They work hard. They plan. They budget. They manage. Because that's not dawned on them, that God shall supply all their need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That when he says, for your sake he became poor, they say it's a spiritual thing. It's not a material thing. Yes, I agree. It's a spiritual thing, but a spiritual thing that has physical results. I don't know the kind of God some people serve. Who wants me to be holy, but who is not concerned about my joy? Some people's God is a tyrant. It's okay for the children of the devil to be happy, to have nice things. But the children of God should be morose. What is an advantage? We make it look like a problem. People don't understand. It's the same price. But if you don't know it, you can't confess it. Hallelujah. So you confront facts with the truth of God's word. Now listen to this. Don't let social conversations trap you. Speak your truth everywhere you find yourself. So even if we're holding conversations and we are talking, don't try to be intelligent and refuse to speak faith. It is what you say that you will have, not what you say when you are praying. And some of us, we talk to other people more than we talk to God. So this is the challenge. Your confession cancels your prayer. Because when you are talking to people, you don't speak your heart. You don't speak your faith. You say, you are tired. I say, can I give you Panadol? He said, I don't even know. The way the thing is worrying me. The way is, you know, some people, we love pity more than health. Because you want them to pity you. You want them to help you. They say, dead body no, they hide for person we go wash them. There's a problem there. So you don't pack it for people who are going to help you. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? So no packaging for men. My help does not come from men. So I don't need to pack it for you. Who do I need to pack it for? God. And God says, come as you are. So zero packaging. See, what I'm trying to say is this, that I'm talking to you does not mean I'm going to speak my faith. You see, I need God to hear what I believe. You, if you hear or you don't hear, I don't care. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was listening to, you know, a man of God yesterday, and what he said blessed me so much. I was talking about his financial prosperity. And he said, I have to constantly confess that God is my source. He said, if I'm in a conversation with somebody or people around me, and the thought comes to me that I don't have money, that I'm running out of cash, he said, I'm going to respond to it by the spoken word, regardless of how absurd it's going to be in that conversation. Did you get that? So let's say we five of us are talking, and we're talking politics and all of that, you know, and they're talking about the economy, how tough things are, and the thought just comes to you. The way things are going right now, you may not be paid at the end of the month. That is a temptation for you to shift your focus from God to salary. Instead of you to keep quiet and be civil, and then go back home and be bombarding heaven with noise, right there and then, let your response be, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, God supplies all my need. According to, it does not matter whether they pay or you maintain your confession. Are we getting this? You need to get that. You maintain your confession, regardless of who you are talking to. Married people, listen to me. If there's any place where we allow ourselves to be sabotaged, is in marriage. You speak faith in a place of prayer. You speak faith with the brethren. Then husband and wife will sit together and say, we're just discussing it the way it is. So I'm just telling you, you are my wife. So at least this is the way. No, that's not the way it is. At one point, I told my wife, I said, if you're not going to speak faith about it, don't talk to me about it. After you have described the situation, conclude by faith. Let's just stop. See, as a matter of fact, you will take away the gloom in your home, the sadness in your home, if everybody in your home would just learn to speak the truth and not just the facts. So, honey, what are we eating for dinner? There's nothing. Did you leave money in the morning? Don't let the conversation end there. As a matter of fact, as a woman, your husband comes back, he didn't leave something in the morning, and you could not make anything happen. It's not an indictment on him. It's an indictment on you. Because God is not only his God. He is your God too. He is just one of your resources. So if your husband is broke, does not mean the family should go hungry. Because my God shall supply all. See, God, I thank you because of what you have done so far through my husband. But the word says you will supply my need. The joker is broke right now, but my faith is on you. The joker will be excited that you serve a God. Are you getting this? That you serve a God. That you serve a God. I threaten my wife from time to time. Say, if anything happens to me, if I'm not here, what would you do? One day she got tired of me saying, he said, listen, don't be threatening me that. I will go before you if you are not careful. And I will tell her, I'm older than you. I will go before you. But I say that all the time because I always like her to picture a scenario that I'm not in the picture. I am not God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am not God. Children, you should learn to train your children that way. My son wanted something. Said, I want this. I told him, say, pray to Jesus. Pray to Jesus to give it to you. He looked at me and said, how many times am I going to pray to Jesus? Said, all the time. What I said after that cannot be said on TV. All the time. Okay? I'm treating him like a man now. I need him to understand. Because God is the source, not daddy. God is the source, not husband. God is the source, not boss. God is the source, not salary. Are we getting this? So how do you get there? You make it your every conversation. Every conversation. Listen to me. If you want to keep depression from your life, this is the key. Let every conversation end with the word. Now, I'm not saying you go everywhere quoting Bible. You will speak your conviction based on the word. Say, they are going to fire anybody. Say, it does not matter. They may fire everybody. I'm okay. I'm well taken care of. You can never corner a champion. There's always a way out. There's always a way forward. See, you will have some phrases you will develop. No matter who you are talking to, you will say it. Pastor Matthew Ashimolo always said that it is until you break through that they say your name is difficult to pronounce. Amen. So it's when you break through, they will learn to pronounce your name. Listen, when your principles begin to work for you, nobody will question your principle. I used to have a friend when we were on campus. He's a pastor now. Everybody will be sitting in class making noise. He will just go to the back. He will sit on the locker at the back and he will be praying in tongues. And you know, in those days, I used to feel like, this guy, something's wrong with you. Do we have to be this, you know? I mean, and you just sit down there. And you know, I would just be walking on the corridors. Guy, does it have to be? I mean, you won't hear his voice, though. But if you're born again, you know he's praying. And one day it dawned on me. If the unbelievers can smoke in public, if they can cuddle in public, okay, make out in public, they will dance in public. They do all of these things that take them down. I want to do something that will take me up. And you say something is wrong with me. Says everything does not have to be by Bibles. How did you get here? So you have carried this God on your head. No, I didn't carry, it's in my heart. He's the one carrying me. Every conversation with everybody. Look at what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 to 36. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. The moment you start talking about reward is not salary. Reward is response based on what you have done. So some people's reward will be 10%. Some will be 20%. Some will be 30%. Based on what? Their confidence. Now the word confidence there, listen to this. Okay? Is a Greek word. Okay? It means
all outspokenness.
It means frankness. It means bluntness. It means publicity. It means assurance. It means boldness of speech.
Don't throw away your boldness of speech. It will be richly rewarded.
Oh, I'm not sure you got that. So you see, it's not enough I prayed about it. As I'm speaking and I'm confessing the truth of God's word, God is marking my words and God says, I will respond to you based on what you're saying. Look at what the Bible says in the next verse. Verse 36 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive. So God knows I've not received. The question is, what is the will of God? Unfettered outspokenness. Oh boy. Let me help you with this. Some people don't understand. You share testimony when something has happened that you can touch. Then everybody sees you have a job. Everybody sees you have a car. Everybody sees you have the child. Everybody sees you have the breakthrough. Everybody sees that you have been healed. And then you say you testify. To human beings, that's your testimony. To God, testimony is what you say before the manifestation. Because verse 36 says, after you have done the will of God, you will receive. What is the will of God? Unfettered outspokenness. Hallelujah. For everybody who prays for the sick, you know this has been your experience. You start praying for the sick and maybe headache will go, one small stomach ache, but some very serious issues, nothing will happen. What do you say after that? When you maintain that confession of faith, you will notice after some time, even your thoughts will start producing results. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, there are some people that heaven responds to their thoughts more than some other people's prayers. Because they have persevered, they have done the will of God, now they are in the season of receiving. I'm telling you the truth. That was where Jesus was, when everybody makes a demand of faith around Jesus, you got it. Even something as flimsy as wine at a wedding. Amen. It is because we are far from God, that's why we think he's only concerned about very, 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 very big issues. See, there are some people who have walked with God, and so you've got to give yourself time, and you've got to use that time getting close to him and saturating your heart with faith so you get to the point where your thought on earth begins to make things happen from the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. God will begin to respond to your desires because he says, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, far above what we ask or imagine. Some people right now, I say, God will answer your thoughts. They can't say amen. Hallelujah. Because they are not thinking about the word of God. They are not speaking about the word of God. Now, the easiest way to get your mind saturated with scripture and the word, okay, is by speaking it. I told you I'm going to say three things. The last one is act on the word, not according to your symptoms. Act on the word, not according to your symptoms. Okay? Act on the word, not according to your symptoms. Regardless of what you are feeling in your body, don't say to yourself, if I don't tell them what's doing me, they will not help me. The person that will help you is watching you already. Are you listening to me? The person that will help you is watching you already. I shared a video on Telegram's platform. I don't know how many of us paid attention to that video. See, God is so concerned about you. Some of you, the prophecies over your life, they sound like fantasy. Fantasy. The story of that man of God that the bishop told him, by this time next year, you're going to have a bigger property. You're going to worship in a cathedral. Say, look at him. See, what you don't understand, listen, what God has done for you is not based on the prayer you are praying now. The prayer we pray now, the meditation, the confession, is bringing ourselves into sensitivity so that we can be aware of what's already in existence. So listen, it starts listening to me right now. And you're trusting God. I want to get married very soon. Are you saying that you are praying now? God is now trying to decide who you will marry. Again, God created. Your husband went to school already. Your husband probably is dating somebody else right now. I'm saying he's alive. Especially if you want somebody that is older than you. Just add a few years to your age. You know the age of your husband. So he's not a baby. He's alive. He's somewhere doing something. So why am I still single? You have not met. The two of you have not become aware of each other. The one that pains me at times is when the two people are in the same environment, but they have not become aware of each other. Sometimes one or two of them has not become aware of himself to carry himself like who he really is. Every time I hear ladies say, I look around, there's nobody to marry here, I don't blame the ladies. Because a lot of young guys don't just know who they are. So they don't carry themselves with a sense of awareness. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not better than any young man. I just know who I am. That's the truth. And what I know about myself configures the way I behave. And I carry myself with dignity. Somebody looks at me, look, I want to be your wife. And then you are the kind of person I want to introduce to my family. It's a big deal. You can't be talking anyhow, misbehaving anyhow, and expect anybody to make that decision concerning. It's a lot of work. But you see, you don't do it for them. You do it for you. Because you know who you are. Are we getting this? You know who you are. When I was made resident pastor in my pastor's church, I asked him, I said, sir, why am I the youngest of all the pastors? Why would you do this? You're putting me under pressure. He said, listen, he said, I'm just making formal something you are doing already. You know why? Because I read in a magazine that if you want to be promoted to any level, start operating now, 3 levels above your current level. Talk like it, deliver like it, dress like it. When they are deciding who should be promoted, he says they will look at you and you already, you see, you need to understand people are not that strong. You need to help them. They are moved by what they see. I digress, but it should bless you. They are moved by what they see. So when they are looking for CEO, they are looking for who should be promoted, okay, to be the manager of the branch. They are looking like for somebody who is already a manager. Stop waiting for people to lift you. Your promotion is up to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you walk into a store, you see a nice dress, and you buy it. Do you know what that means? That there was somebody who caught an idea of the dress, who got the fabric, who cut the dress to your size. Before you strolled into it, it's the same thing. All the people you are trusting God to move into your life, they need to come in and see you ready made. You are the one that just knows that there are still some gray areas, but you present your best self. Why? Because you are in faith. You believe that everything that God has said concerning you is true. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything God has said concerning me is true. I'm somebody's father. I'm somebody's boss. Listen. Some people come to my office and I say, I offer them a job and they say, okay. And they go home and for 30 days, they come to work expecting at the end of the month, I will keep my word. Hello? Why? Because I carry myself as such. But there was a time I couldn't pay myself. But I carried myself as such. Because I believe the word of God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I carried myself as such because I believe God's word, because I confessed it. Listen to me. The same thing we say about sin is the same thing we say about prosperity, is the same thing we say about sickness. So carry yourself as such. I'm not sick. I don't believe in falling sick. I don't believe in being poor. Are you getting it now? I don't believe in living in sin. Some people say, I can't help myself. No, I can help myself. Sin shall not be my master. It's the same thing. Sickness cannot be my master. It's got to be my conviction. What do I do for it to become my conviction? Saturate your heart with it. Put yourself on a system that delivers the word to you every day. Just this week alone, you don't want to know how many times I've listened to teaching about healing. Anything I want to get lay hold in my life, I listen to teaching about it severally. Are we getting this? Because there's nothing that is beyond you. Hallelujah.